And good afternoon. It's your favorite duo again, the group that never brings peace. It's always just...
Have we defined, Helmut, what is our favorite term? Definition of terminology? Have we defined favorite duo, the favoriteness?
Their favorite. Look, at this point, if you are listening to us, then you really like us.
if you're complimenting us on transport platforms or you know, at weird places where you are shopping, we acknowledge it, guys. We appreciate it.
We really do.
Yeah. It sometimes scares us that you are saying, "Hey, Dwight. Hi, Helmut.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Who am I gonna listen to?
Who am I gonna listen to?"
What's
the one that you got?
You're not secretly recording us, are you?
No, we're not, guys. We don't do that.
And then, look, sometimes we genuinely just walk into your office seeking help. And one thing to make clear is that if I secretly recorded you, I can't use it here because then I will get into trouble, both legally and basically here at work. And believe me, there's nothing that I like at this point the most more than my salary. Sorry, sweetheart. You know, I had to throw it in. But someone got dumped because of
in that sense, guys, we appreciate you, dear listeners, and welcome to today's The Home Run. Yes, there's unfortunately only an hour for today's session.
Yeah.
And obviously we are gonna dive feet first, not head first.
Yeah. Let's start basically. Yeah, feet first. Let's talk about something that we have. It's basically nothing new, which is skill transfer. Like every developing country, we want to see skill transfer from foreign investors to locals, and then we can skills will have to again be transferred from one local to another, because retirement comes, you can't just please have a mentor. That kind of skill transfer. But in today's discussion, we want to have the skill transfer in terms of leadership. We know that especially the public sector have been criticized at some point, even by the World Bank, that competitiveness is not actually our strong suit. Every time that we find ourselves in the competitiveness is not the public sector's strong suit, especially when that competitiveness is in comparison to the private sector. Now, of course, there are a lot of factors that that plays into this. It's not a one size fits all. We're mindful of the factors of the fact that there are actually a lot of things that must be in place, that must be addressed. Now, the part of the discourse now, that's where the home run comes in.
We fill in where the supplementation hasn't taken place. Well, sometimes we actually jump the gun. We go run with the thing. Before anyone else talks about it.
Now. The part is my favorite part about basically leadership, especially in elected representative, or if you are one of those people that are appointed, MPs that are appointed by the president, you are also included in that category, or governors, you are also included in that category. As long as you are just there to serve the interest, you are there to represent. You are in that position to represent the public interest. Today's discussion is about basically leadership. It's about leadership. Believe me, I wish I was here to give you the best leadership skills. We don't. Now, we're just basically here to point out one thing.
Well, here's what we also have. Just before you highlight that one thing.
Okay.
Helmut, it's actually the biggest conundrum that exists in modern economic development. Who needs to lead? Who leads who?
And most importantly, what criteria are we looking for in whoever that is? Well, and it's the brilliant discussion.
Well, criteria is also a funny thing.
That's why I brought it up.
But first finish your train of thought before we get to criteria.
It brings up now that discussion of how do we, you know, as in everything else, how do we transfer it to the next, to the coming generation? And my favorite part about this, about this topic is that there's always, as in everything else, people are polarized when it comes to whether the elders should lead or the youth should lead. We know that the youth is basically, you know, this is the youth in defining the youth as in... let's start from 21 to 35.
Yeah.
Yeah. This age group.
Yeah.
Should we take the youth any, in other words, under 35 to occupy public office, or should we take anyone over 35?
Yeah.
And now also that one also factoring in whether or not this person wants to occupy this office.
But it's not, you just have that, it's, one playing. It's not just the political spectrum here.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if we interrogate the question, Helmut, of what's at the basis for the demands of the youth? It's about economic prosperity,
yeah.
Meaning having access to means of being able to live or to pay for services. Remember the continuous nice little template that I keep using of my uncle? And even because I didn't ask the question to my parents back then, because my dad... earned a slightly little bit more than my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So even for now, I can't even interrogate my dad on this because he's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But my uncle's template was a picture of earning 300 rand.
And
being able to start a family, buying a car, paying it off, having installments to pay off, buying groceries, still have money to save and still have money to spend from 300 rand. So at that stage, Helmut,
you can't do that today in $3,000.
Yeah, you can't. You really cannot.
You can't.
And this is the 80s. I'm not even pushing it into the 70s. Yeah. This is the 80s. Now, factor that template, which is just almost 40 years ago, versus now. Almost 40 years ago, the picture is also one of about, so what are the opportunities available to you? Yeah. Remember, I'm talking about a colored man that can only, or if you are now wish to be technical, he's actually from Rehoboth. I'm not talking about a bastard man and his newly, you know, married wife. So that makes them 21, 20.
Yeah.
And primarily, you can only go into certain particular jobs, that either being education or certain particular functional aspects in public service, or you were in the police, or you were in the army, or you could only become like a general practitioner, a GP, doctor, or also once again, just a teacher. For women, you could only become a teacher or a nurse. And this was a template, not just in Namibia, but also in South Africa. So we have to understand the avenues of opportunity that you could only access.
Yeah, that you were limited compared to the opportunities you can access today.
Yeah, which is... Well, just look at a university and what can
they offer,
which is primarily the world.
Yeah.
But what does that world translate to today? Does it mean if you finish your accounting degree, you can walk into a job just like that?
Yeah.
No.
Well, no, you can't.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because what do accountants even have to, even for you to be called an accountant, what do you have to achieve first? Yeah, first go and practice at an accounting firm where they can decide what they're going to pay you. So it's not even to say, you remember that thing that we spoke about, the minimum wage discussion?
Yeah.
That was brought out, I think, 2 months back in terms of, you know, the particular groups. You remember the question that you posed? Would it have a potential impact on certain aspects of the economy if you had to look at serious legislation that satisfy the aspect of a minimum wage discussion?
Yeah.
But if you now need to understand, okay, so what's the starting salary for someone that just finished an accounting degree? What is like the industry norm?
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, Helmut, there is no industry norm for a journalist, whether you be radio, meaning broadcast or even print media.
Yeah.
There is no industry norm for what a journalist should start from if they have at least a degree.
Yeah.
There is no industry norm. So even when I give you that projection, what is the security that a member of the youth, Let's even theorize that this person finishes their degree within the stated 3-year platform, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Within the stated 3-year period, under the conditions that they are properly financed, they've got some decent student housing that looks after their shelter need, and that they at least have food every day in their belly, and that there's taxi money for them to commute between where they stay and where they study. And they achieve, what is the level? NQA 7 or NQF 7 for a degree, a bachelor's degree from the three.
For technical institutions?
No, for higher education.
Oh, yeah. NQF. Okay, you have 5, 6.
Grade 12.
Yeah, must be 7.
Yeah, grade 12 for you and me.
Must be NQF 7.
Yeah, because grade 12 for you and me was like NQF 5 or 4-ish, but 5-ish and 5 to 6 between that threshold. Because when you finish the degree, the 3-year degree,
mm-hmm.
you achieve a 7-year. Yeah. You achieve the 7 level.
Yeah.
And as you go to masters and as you go to honors, and if you and it, that's even if the person has no job experience, but now factor in someone has job experience, it even pushes up your NQF level. So for you and I, that obviously means, you know, we're pretty high up on the potential.
The food chain.
The food chain of earnings. Let's start off. So factor that discussion. Now, there is no set standard in terms of identifying what is the minimum wage that, for example, someone with a degree in accounting should earn.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the private sector proponent in that industry.
Yeah. Now, let's say we were to. I mean, we start having discussions around coming up with one that it becomes as an industry norm for different disciplines. Of course. One thing that would have to basically consider that I am sure a lot of employers would be asking for is the institution that you went to also factors in.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you competing for a job with someone who's from an Ivy League school.
But then would that person want to come back to Namibia?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Ivy League person, would they want to come back here?
When we have oil. But
We don't know. We're just theorizing.
We just see it rising. Yeah. Now, the interesting part, basically, just to summarize more like the intro that I find very interesting about today's subject is, as in everything else, there is also a blame game, especially when it comes to occupying public office, like at any level. You know, the polarization I was referring to earlier is that you'll have a lot of people, young people, that are saying that most of the people that are in public office are old enough to be in retirement.
Mm.
They should be in retirement.
Mm.
And then they have a lot of, most people that are in public office that will say that, no, we can't actually entrust this a lot of responsibility for someone who is still trying to figure out their life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're talking about someone who is maybe in their early, mid-20s, especially in that age group.
Yeah.
And basically, it is just to say in the 20s. And maybe early 30s.
Mm.
Now, it becomes, a very, when you look at it from that point, it quickly spills over into an inclusivity discussion.
Mm.
Where we get caught up into the politics and then always again forget the elephant in the room, where you're like, you know what? Let's say the Kavangos are the minority, and you having a business, you are actually required by law to hire
people.
To hire people from that minority group.
Yeah,
but the person that's telling you to hire them, the first question you are going to ask is, look, this is a technical job. If they are not qualified, how am I going to hire them?
Mm.
Obviously, even if you are going to, like the elephant in the room when it comes to everything inclusivity discussion is, I don't have a problem hiring you as a Kavango, you as a black, you as a white. But the question is, are you up to the job? That's all I care about.
Mm.
Like, look, even if you you gathered, even if you you gathered a bunch of say, I will have to use two examples for inclusivity purposes, of course. Now, example number one:
yeah.
Take a group of white extremists and who doesn't know how to fly a plane,
mm.
and fly the mid-air and tell them, "Would you like to this white guy who know this black guy to fly this plane until you land, or you just want to, you know, kill him now because he's black?"
Mm.
Chances are very high they'll be like, "You know what? You know, I think we're gonna let him fly first
and land
first. And then we're gonna hate him."
Yeah,
yeah. And do the same thing with Pan-Africanists. They'll be like, Pan-Africanist, white Chinese, this is bad.
But
put them in the same situation. The bottom line is, look, I don't care who is flying the plane.
Mm.
All I care about, first of all, I don't know them. And frankly, I don't want to know them.
Mm.
The question is, can they fly the plane?
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
And can they do this more than once?
Yeah, can they do this okay,
reliably?
Thank you for the reliably.
Yeah,
that was a little vague there. Can they fly a plane?
Because you don't want one pilot flying just one trip
once and then it ends in tragedy.
Yeah,
so
well, not in tragedy even. Not in tragedy, because if you question how most business people's mindsets work, and it's because business people are also they're also the same human species that we all hail from.
Yeah.
So they look at a notion of the perception based upon reliable representation of producing.
Yeah.
Right? So if the owner of a business says, "Hey, Dwight, you know, I want you to come and work for me, but I don't want you to just show up for one day."
Yeah. I don't want you to just, you know, I don't want you to.
I don't want you to just perform for
one day. Can I rely on you to be here every day?
That's literally the principle. Remember, what you're explaining is the principle of saying, I'm the business owner.
Yeah.
The other party is the worker.
Yeah.
Will you be here every day?
Yeah.
Because it's based upon be here every day, to produce every day.
Yeah.
To achieve what you want as a salary at the end of the month.
Yeah.
All the other things come in as
everything extra. Is secondary.
Yeah. They come in further on. But look at the bare bones or the bare basic relationship between an employer and an employee.
An employee, yeah.
Now you've got to ask the question about, can the employer afford the employee? Because remember, Namibia's economy is not similar to, or let's rather say, Namibia's socioeconomic environment is not the same as, what's the country I now want to pick a fight with?
Oh, easy. You can pick a fight with Germany.
No, not Germany. No. Of course,
well, they picked a fight with us. So.
Of course, but we've got to stay in the same bracket here. You can't be, you know, as boxers, you can't be moving from a featherweight challenging a heavyweight. No.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
We can't be featherweight. You know, we need to stay featherweight to featherweight.
Yeah.
So if we take in similarity to, not in economic size, just conditions.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about GDP conditions here or GDP size here. Yeah. We're just talking about what you as a Namibian experience every day, the services, the particular ability of affordability, you know, the ability to live, and what you can interact with and what you can earn money from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Namibia, okay, let's use Madagascar. Madagascar has more people. I think slightly more people. I think like 5 to 10 million.
Compared to us, yeah.
To compare to us. But our GDP is a lot bigger than theirs, or a lot stronger than theirs. If you take the life that you experience in, for example, just in Windhoek, because we don't know what the picture looks like in most of the towns across the country.
Yeah.
But you look at life here in Windhoek. Now, image the socioeconomic picture here, and then go and look like at the lack of, let's say, the lack of, or how the socioeconomic picture looks like in Madagascar.
Mm-hmm.
Madagascar, just like Namibia, they go through cycles of drought periods as well, just like us.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, at least they know that in one half of the year it's dry, and the other half of the year they're going to be completely drenched in a tropical storm.
Yeah.
In Namibia, we don't have the surety.
Yeah, it's not that predictable.
Or even there is no clear cut, you know, indication to say, you know what, it's going to be super dry one part of the year, and it's going to be super wet one part of the year. So we need to have ways of trying to capture all that rainfall to alleviate any aspects of drought.
Yeah.
We don't have that luck. The Malagasy at least know that there's rainfall coming, no matter the level of destruction that it leaves behind.
Yeah.
In our discussion as well, if we now try to factor in Namibians are a lot more, well, literacy plus also the particular industries that we can engage in, Namibia sometimes, in most cases, you can see that Namibia has benefited greatly from the proximity of South Africa to us, because South Africa didn't decide to take things to Madagascar. They decided to maintain things here in Namibia and Botswana.
Yeah.
So their businesses are here. Their business people know that there's common language barriers that is easily adaptable. There's a similarity in terms of you know, jobs and the kinds of money systems. The banks are here. The retailers are here. So there are similar needs. Yeah. So if you ever look at South Africa and Namibia, South Africa is just a bigger version of Namibia.
Yeah.
Now go to Madagascar. The Malagasy, they speak French on one side. So they subscribe to a French system. We subscribe to a South African system. If you want to know about what your money can do, you at least know, I can order something from South Africa. The courier will be here the next day. At least if you know that if you complete a degree here in Namibia, you can take that degree and go work in South Africa. That's what many Namibians don't know. They think that Namibia is all that. That's now for the youth that have achieved a degree.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that degree and go to South Africa. Yeah, the xenophobia will be against you. The South Africans are now also starting to speak about us Namibians in terms of us coming there and taking their jobs. But it's not our problem that the South Africans are not going to university. It's not your problem, Helmut.
No, it's not. I mean, I don't even speak Afrikaans, so.
You don't have to speak Afrikaans, because even in that scenario, South African businesses are realizing that the local South African youth does not match up to the demands that they as the business or the private sector have in their own country. Now, if a bunch of Namibians say, hey guys, there's opportunity there to achieve employment there, you go. And in South Africa, you have the potential to earn more, enjoy a better standard of living than in Namibia. And what is the particular discussion that forms under that? Not a brain drain, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It actually feeds into the talk we had just yesterday, the one about the free movement protocol and the treaties that the AU are looking at. Because in that scenario, there are English-speaking South Africans, English-speaking Namibians, German-speaking Namibians, Afrikaans-speaking Namibians that are going to places like Canada, Australia, England, Germany, to go and stay and work there. They go and stay and work there. I have two friends that stay in Germany just because they married a German. They stay in Germany. I don't have that luck. What German woman do I know that I can just go and say, hey, I let's date, let's start marriage, and then I go there. Because here's the thing that the Europeans also do.
I'm getting a lot of ideas.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of ideas. But here's the thing also. And this is what feeds into the narrative of the youth, because the youth are looking for avenues out.
Yeah.
When you look at this, you know, certain access points that, let's for example say your friends had, but you don't have it. Obviously, it builds up an aspect of frustration. Because if we feed it into the talk today about who needs to lead the youth.
Yeah.
Should the youth be the guys that need to take over policy development on behalf of their needs? Any person above 35 will say no.
Yeah.
Because that would mean the civil and public servants would then have to subscribe to a policy to someone that has never worked in the economy. And that's the first thing they will use against that youth representative.
Yeah.
You've never worked, or you've never had the opportunity of working, but then the same youth person will say, but I've never had the opportunity of accessing it.
Yeah.
But have you gone to enter into the market? There's someone I know, a family member of mine, that has worked for every holiday that she had, like school holiday. She would go and do casual work at retailers just to build up her own money and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Since she was 16. Now, since child labor is illegal in Namibia,
Can't do that anymore.
You can't do that anymore. Yeah. But it was an access point to build up experience.
You can't do that anymore. But want someone with 40 years of experience at age 23.
Whatever. What, at 19? Not at 23.
Whatever
at 19?
Whatever it is, we are smoking. this, it's a good thing you basically referenced that, like a tit for tat kind of blame game going on.
Yeah.
That, the person that is actually above 35 is saying that, no, you can't be in this position because you have never been in this this line of work before.
Yeah.
And then the under 35 is going, well, but I've never been given an opportunity.
Mm.
Now, the other day, I remember sometimes last year, I was here talking about volunteer work.
Yeah. And I hate volunteer work. I hate that term.
Me too. I don't believe in that. Not in this economy.
My brother pulled one on me just in last month.
Volunteer?
My own brother, your own family pulls it on you, but yeah.
Yeah, how dare you? Yeah, like there are times when I know that, you know what, I have extra cash where I can afford it. Mm. I really like that. I really enjoy volunteer work. I'm just out there basically working as long as it doesn't take more than a day.
Yeah.
Because then I become lazy and tries to figure out ways to dodge.
Mm.
But this whole discussion, I think this whole discussion now of, you can't be here, but because you don't have experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then the younger person saying, well, the reason why I'm not there is because I've not been given an opportunity.
Yeah.
This debate is getting us, is going in a direction where we are again missing the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it this way. Even if this person that I approached that I wanted them, I want to be their protege,
mm.
which is a lot of work.
Mm.
So if you are, if you are doing internship and you are assigned to someone, be thankful. Because this person has deadlines to meet. Yeah. So accommodating you on that schedule is just them being generous.
I'll sketch you even worse picture, Helmut. The reason why I use the seniority, let's coin a new term today. The seniority complex.
A seniority complex. Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
Now, I'll sketch a picture of the same family member that I told you
that
had been working since she was the age of 16.
Yeah.
So, she became a production manager at the NGO in Karatura known as Penduka.
Yeah.
Production manager for handcrafts, like, pillowcases made by hand.
Yeah.
And beads, beads that women can put around the neck, as jewelry pieces,
yeah.
and all kinds of stuff. Now, what she introduced was a picture of literally how a factory works,
mm-hmm.
Helmut, is based upon orders that as a customer orders from you.
Yeah.
She had negotiated orders for the first time with a particular venture because people were just creating for the hope that tourists will show up. When she got the same scenario, the first thing that happened was dealing with the people that need to make the stuff, the crafts. Now, I'm talking about this. We're now talking in the realm of women's affairs,
mm-hmm.
of women helping women, or women leading women. It also subscribes to the notion of how the youth also need to look at this. The youth need to be led by someone, whether it's in business or in public sector.
Yeah.
We now come into this aspect of how there were women older than this, than this fresh-faced production manager that is now coming to share with them international standards, ISO-based standards, South African Bureau of Standards, standards
mm-hmm.
of producing something, trying to get the understanding that you need to produce according to specs and not produce according to how you feel.
You shouldn't just produce it randomly. You have to first find out what your consumers want.
Or what the client wants. Yeah. Or what you can sell to the client based upon the potential. So now what I'm explaining to you is literally establishing a supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
Because, mind you, a shopping center won't say, I don't want, if all tomato sauces are red, they are this blood red color,
mm-hmm.
Why is your tomato sauce coming here as yellow?
Yeah.
Why are you labeling it then as yellow? Isn't that just...
How's that tomato sauce?
How is that a tomato?
What kind of tomato do you have in there?
Are you not going to tell that retailer, no, my tomatoes didn't ripen.
Yeah,
They didn't reach the age of maturity. Who will believe that specific technical component to why your product looks different from what the whole industry looks like?
You'll have to market it in a way that is very psychologically genius. Just tell them that the ones that are less ripen are the ones that are more nutritious. True. People like stuff that is, you know, different and fancy.
Yeah, as long as it works.
Yeah, as long as... No, it can work. Just market it properly. It's going to work. It worked for engagement rings, believe me.
And diamonds.
Worked for toothpaste.
No, but toothpaste is needed.
No. There was a marketing campaign behind that, believe me.
I know.
What was genius level.
But before that, what did people use? They used salt.
Don't ask the Romans. Because it will be... Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
You don't have, you know, nightmares. Yeah. But the thing is, this whole leadership discussion, you know, it's taking place in a direction where we are basically... Because was that earlier this year or when the ruling party was, still having, you know, internal discussions of picking their presidential candidate?
Yeah.
Now, when they picked their representative candidate, who is now vice president, right?
Yeah.
One of the main discussion that was dominating even the media was of her age. And I was like, okay, this is a very interesting one. Now, look at it this way. Do you want an incompetent, not that young people are incompetent, it's just an example that, like, just how broad I think we should start thinking. Do you want an incompetent young person just for the sake of having a young person in office? Or do you want someone who is more matured and competent? Because competence then becomes a marker. You want a young person in office, okay, congratulations, but are they competent? Because if youth is the only thing that you are looking for, then what you are looking for is a modeling contest.
True.
Yeah. True. Modeling contest, that would make a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But occupying public office, let me tell you a short story of a guy called Ian Shaw, Moldova. I don't know if they, maybe the reason why they, I don't know the why, the reason why they thought they could trust, I think he was 21 years old at the point, to run one of their main central banks. They had three. One of the one that he was entrusted to run was Banca do Economy. At least I tried. Now, Homeboy,
yeah,
basically positioned some of his body. I think there were two or three in, I think it was all around the world. But I remember one guy who was operating from Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. It's like me now being trusted with the central bank, and then we just agree so that you can, you know, move to a different country,
mm-hmm.
and then come to the bank that I'm now in charge of and borrow money at little to zero interest.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the regulators woke up in the country, these guys have basically made away with a third. With one third of their GDP, with one third of their GDP in value.
So is that now the aspect of what happens when the youth?
Yeah, when you just look at, he's young, therefore he must be competent. Like, you know, whether young or old, vetting process must be applied.
Mm.
Yeah. But because I'm not, I can't even speak for comedians at this point, because every time a comedian takes office, a country ends up at war. But
even a footballer, and then everyone goes like, but dude, we liked your football. Why do you want to be our serious political leader right now?
Political leadership, because of the vagueness in political discussion, basically unpredictable of the whole thing, putting someone in office randomly becomes very dangerous. Because if you put in the right person, things become very golden. But if you put in the wrong person, you end up with a dictator on your hands.
Mm.
So whether this person we want in office is a young, old, male, female, gay, straight, at this point, especially for me personally, I don't care.
Mm.
Are they competent? But then, are they up to the job?
But then here's the discussion, Howard. Let's also then talk about the notion of what is the competence associated to each role. For example,
one, don't start a war.
that's the first one. if we look at let's say for example per sector.
Yeah.
So now you come to a sector like the media sector.
Yeah.
Let's just stay on media because it's as broad as possible.
Yeah, include print, video, audio,
everything. Yeah. Even stand up and the likes.
Yeah.
There's this idea that young graduates or people that are now trying to enter into the media space
yeah.
are now sort of like this new sought after talent. But here's the thing. If you go talk to them just about anything, you know, any random particular topic or subject matter, and you go ask them, you know, in terms of, you know, how do you understand global geopolitics? How do you understand Namibia's economy? How do you understand
G7 summit?
And then you hear people are like, you know, I'm not really into
the
subject matters because, you know, I'm this and then that. And then you find out the person follows some random person on Instagram. And you're like, oh my goodness. And then you ask, you know, have you ever read a book in your life? Yeah, once, you know, just for English, grade 8. And you're like, oh my goodness. And then you ask, okay, so what's the subject matter past there? Because we're talking about the typical,
you know,
youth person below,
full of energy,
between and 18 just, and 23.
Yeah.
We're talking about the typical youth person that you can cluster under that in that particular 5-year gap. And the other subject matter is also, which is associated, for example, to the statistics that the Ministry of Education, who in their own right, is also a bad news bear, where they highlight sometimes, you know, the impact of boys that don't read. We sometimes look at, you see all these girls on tertiary education levels and you realize, but why are there not as many boys also becoming part of this subject matter? Then you could realize because the boy is not being told in the house, go and study. Then you have real life occurrences or reoccurrences of like what Jacob Zuma, the big, you know, you guys, you remember the big embarrassing thing that Jacob Zuma did when he tried to read that number.
Oh, yeah.
When he went like 1,007 and then you're like, oh my God.
For the love of God, it's
my goodness.
You can't say 1,000 and then 1,000 again.
Billion and a.
Like after 1,000,
you can't go million
you must
billion.
Go to 100 now.
Yeah, you can't go million billion.
Million billion, like.
So, and that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, you come up with something like that.
That's the worst case scenario of not going to school, of not touching your books, or of not learning and reading, because reading is not just about learning education. Reading is about you doing, gaining further
long life
development. So there's that long life component, because just me also saying you should also try and work from 16 years old, trying to do, you know, summer jobs or holiday jobs is also not a complete solution to factor into the youth discussion.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, Helmut. If the government through a law says, Dwight, you cannot work as a 16-year-old, even if it's just for casual work as a holiday job.
Yeah.
Is this ultimately also what the private sector tries to look for? Because the biggest misconception that also exists out there is the discussion that the youth think it's the government that needs to create the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the government has specialist jobs which are associated to what? You must have qualified certain educational levels.
And some jobs require a certain level of clearance.
That too.
And now, seeing how good my generation are at sharing information on social media, you really want to trust them with your state secret.
That too.
I was at a youth center doing computer.
Uh-huh.
And there were those that were doing catering, and you have a lot of students that are basically doing different different fields.
Mm.
And there are those that were doing paramedics. Mm. Now the question now is now they had to do attachment obviously at a health institution.
Yeah.
They had to sign non-disclosure agreements, and something they found very shocking, and we talked about it being kids. First question was everything that you see here, everything that we do here, you must maintain some level
of discretion. Yeah.
Yeah. You are going to, in other words, which is why I can't work in actually in the health sector.
Mm.
When you find someone who is, beaten with a bottle and they have a swollen eye, you first should treat them. Don't laugh. I'll be doing the opposite.
Or don't start,
Don't take pictures and start taking memes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if this injury is in no man's land, Yeah, like you're not supposed to take the information out there. Like, you have all these things to basically factor in, which that's actually where I respect nurses.
No, but you know why that is crucial, Helmut? It's a good thing you're mentioning that, because on so many particular, if you go in like other societies, the levels of other societies, where the media talk about how, you know, medical staff have responded or how they react when the age of the smartphone came about.
Yeah.
There were subject matter, I mean, even from South Africa, where paramedics steal people's cell phones. The person is on the verge of dying. First responder, paramedic, it decides to loot from you, but your life is, you can always, you know, buy the things again. And this is sort of like the discussion where even I and you can understand the NDA that those trainees had to sign. But the sensitization about you need to respect other people's particular privacy is another factor. Because are these guys being trained? I remember, like, at my alma mater, they keep saying, but the private sector complains that many of the graduates that come from the institution are not job ready. Now, the person goes and placed, right? Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, now they need to respond to blood and other particular bodily fluids that they would be exposed to. And it's a situation of, how does this person cope with a real life setting?
Yeah.
Because I'm literally, you know, knocking on wood that this kind of accident doesn't happen in Namibia. But a country like South Africa, the city of Johannesburg that has more than 10 million people in it, they have something known as traffic pileups. A traffic pileup is when you have like 10 cars to 15 cars in the same accident.
Whoa.
So, if you imagine to yourself the amount of wounded, traumatized people that you as a paramedic have to respond to. And sorry to any paramedics listening to us, guys, but this is just the reality of, if you've ever seen or been to another country and you see the amount of traffic that they've got on their roads, and you realize how crucial it is in terms of that NDA component that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because literally, it's humans responding to the need of humans.
Yeah. And time is of the essence.
Time is of the essence.
You don't have the time to basically look for something in people's pockets when they're dying.
Exactly. Now,
at least put them in oxygen first.
Still leading to this discussion about, you know, the leadership of youth.
Yeah.
Now, the nice thing is, Helmut, I mean, factoring in, for example, like Namibia is participating with Germany in the Summit of the Future later this year, which is a UN-endorsed platform. And this is now where I'm doing now the correlation between Namibia and Germany, which I didn't want to do earlier when you said, let's use Germany. Now, when you go and look at...
For colonial revenge purposes.
So when you go and look at the Namibia and Germany discussion, and now we're going to be comparing the apples participating in this basket, which is just these two countries. Germany has, at such a level, and I've made use of the statistic continuously, you guys just Google search it even. They will tell you what is the job demand there. Meaning, how many vacancies in the economy are open? And it's more than 10,000. It's more than 20,000 jobs. And when you go and do the same basic exercise in Namibia, when you go and go buy all the daily newspapers, count and eliminate the ads that are similar, the vacancy adverts, and count the unique ones, only the ones that you see once, not the ones that you see, not the ones that duplicate multiple times.
Yeah.
And then you go and Google search and you factor in those vacancy ads that also have like an applicable time frame. It would be in the hundreds, Helmut. And even worse, it would be seeking specialists.
17 years of experience.
Specialists. Highly skilled individuals, highly experienced persons. They are not talking about, we now need 5 courier drivers. Please come and talk to us. They are not going to talk about, we now need 7 kindergarten teachers. Just show up. No. It's all, no, one person here, one person there. One person, even for those of us that see sometimes like the government circular,
Yeah.
The government circular that has all those public service jobs in it.
Yeah.
It's one job here, one post here, one post. It's not a whole department.
And for one of them, for each one of them, 300 people will show up.
Exactly. Or people of 300 people will be invited to the interview.
Yeah.
Now, ask yourself the question, how is the youth going to solve such a bottleneck? If I just showed you that the whole of Germany, 80 million people, has 300,000, potentially 300,000 to 500,000 vacancies available, and the youth want access to opportunities in Namibia, how are you going to reverse the hundreds of job vacancies to making it, you know, trying to make it as thousands? Because the first thing you'd be asking, anyone would ask you, so who's going to employ these people that you want to give just jobs to? Who's going to absorb them? No, the state must absorb them. But the state needs to generate services, right? The state needs to do something. Even though Helmut and I illustrated that in the education sector, there is a lack of employment for library or librarians.
Yeah.
That is still a highly skilled person. You cannot just go and take Tommy that learned how to, you know, that barely finished his grade 12 to and employ him as a librarian in a school. Because the school says at least have a librarian qualification or have a basic education, a basic teaching.
Archives.
Yeah.
Archives. You'll have to, you know, their books are not just books because they are books.
Yeah. The person.
You have different subjects, different topics, different fields, and you must be, you know, arrange them accordingly. If you just pick a random person and put them there, you'll find biology books in between economic books. Now, for someone that wants to go and read, they don't want to basically, you know, sift through the entire pile just to find one book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
they just want to go straight to one section that they are looking for.
Because a librarian, like the one person explained at that engagement, a librarian is literally like your living Google. If you ask them, I want a book that focuses on this, they would know to take you to the book. Here's another question. Here's another particular problem.
Yeah.
You can't also just want one sector to absorb all the unemployed people. Remember that there is somehow all the Namibians decided to go and do teaching for primary school.
Yeah.
But we have a great demand in high school.
Yeah.
Because no one...
We have an oversupply of primary and lower primary.
Yeah.
And we have a shortage of
high school teachers. Yeah. But if you go and listen to people who want to go and study teaching, you hear from them that they say, I don't want to deal with your teenage child. So this is the youth telling, literally snitching on the fellow youth, I don't want to be the picture that I saw when I was in high school. I don't want to deal with your child on high school.
How bad were you?
No, not me.
No, I'm just asking the other people, your example. Yeah. Yes.
Because if you ask people now, why are you not going into high school teaching? Everyone cannot just be lower basic education. Why are you not in high school? But then you hear about the various particular problems that come up from teenagers, adolescents. I mean, one of my siblings was in high school here in Windhoek, where they had a massive drug problem. Helmut, this is a public school. Another one had gangs on it. This is what Namibians are not talking about that is not coming out in the media. Gangs, so, school gangs. So if you try...
You're not helping us.
If you're trying to understand whether or not the youth must lead the youth, unfortunately the case is not there to support you.
It's difficult to defend. It's
difficult to defend. Hence the reason also, the discussion about access points, jobs and the likes... You unfortunately have to finish your education. Because if you've had the opportunity to exit in high school.
Yeah.
Ne? Let's, for example, say you go and work. Let's say you try to duplicate a picture like in the 1990s. Where some Namibians literally could do holiday jobs, you know, between school semesters or school terms. If you could do that. Ne?
Mm-hmm.
The private sector is actually giving an avenue to the person to say, leave school. Which would be against the basic legal requirement of the parents, the guardians of the child, of the teenager, as well as also the private sector to not employ or indulge in child labor.
They're not motivating you to quit.
Yeah. They're not telling you, don't come and work under this particular age bracket that you currently are in. Now, that actually means it would be an opportunity for people older than you to have the opportunity, which once again comes down to, which is another component of the seniority complex that I made mention of earlier,
yeah.
Our new term that you and I highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot assume to take over a position over there,
yeah.
If the basic requirement imposed on me, I cannot
be able to,
says you must first reach this age limit. So how then is the youth demanding to participate here? Firstly, if they don't have the education,
yeah, it's not gonna work.
If they don't have the education, look, I understand in the component, for example, of looking at things like the Green Hydrogen Strategy or the Green Hydrogen Program, where it was communicated to the communities where the green hydrogen developments are taking place. It is for you guys in the community to be employed in those projects. I understand something like that. But then,
yeah,
once again, you must be qualified.
That qualifying part, very interesting one. Now, support, the youth, right, to reach a certain level of leadership. This debate is a very interesting one. Because it is giving the whole vibe of War Dogs movie that I used as an example earlier.
Are you talking about the one that was now recently made?
David Pakos and a massage therapist who was converted by his friend to start dealing in weapons.
Are you talking about the one that came out recently where they had to rush with a truck from Kandahar?
Yeah, that
in,
one.
In Iraq, from Kandahar, yeah, to... What was the other place?
Look, that one thing I like about that movie is that it's based on a real-life story.
Which
the
is,
Pentagon, which you'd call the Minister of Defense.
Yeah.
I think at this point they were just going, how about we just supply these guys, let's support small businesses, because they were just a small arms supply business. It turns out in developed countries you can start a business like that.
Mm.
Not the ones that our, is happening in Namibia with our police guns. It's a little different. Now for these ones, they were basically given, they were in the age range of 20 to 25.
Yeah, the founder is, he was older than the guy that he recruited. The second guy in the movie.
These guys
were
given, billions to basically transport guns for the Afghan National Army.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Not just that, also for
the... Boy, oh boy. Did they find out that was a mistake? Like, that brings us to the discussion we had earlier about, the discipline of money.
Mm.
Yes. Let's say we just use youth as a criteria for recruitment for giving people public office.
Mm.
We just take some random young person and then make them Minister of Finance. We're screwed.
Mm.
You'll find a lot of young people out there that are more disciplined with their money than some of the old people out there.
Yeah.
But this again is where the vetting now comes in. You have to basically maybe maintain someone into a protege, work with them with time,
mm.
and then understand that, okay, what are they good at? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses?
Yeah.
Because especially if you talk about, Ministry of Safety and Security, say Ministry of Defense, like these two are very sensitive. It's the same with the Ministry of Health,
mm.
because you are literally talking about people's lives.
Mm.
So you cannot afford to screw up.
Mm.
So now what you need there is, again, it brings us to the whole of vetting. We don't care if you have three legs. Can you do the job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides,
can you keep a secret? Because we don't want, tourists taking pictures in our military bases, like they did the other time.
That too.
Don't know how they got there.
Well, they were actually outside.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very nice one. But
but it's a good thing that you're zoning in on the aspect in terms of also the maturity component.
Yeah.
what we have to literally also understand in this discussion is the particulars in terms of the particular needs that start springing up. You see, Helmut, when we speak from the education component of things, the picture obviously would have been a lot more difficult. Let's, for example, say if there was something like, what? Let's say, let me just zone in on like 8,000 or 10,000 matriculants, people that achieved grade 12, ne?
Yeah.
I'm not going to use this AS standard thing because for some reason, people are still telling me that the AS level, the last year, the 13th year, supposedly not a full-on grade 12. So I'm going to stay on my Cambridge level.
The one that I understand, that one still confuses me too, the AS level.
Yeah, I'm still going to stay on my Cambridge level. Because even when I say the Cambridge level, which is an education system entirely exported out of the UK to Namibia, is still something that you can bank on. Mm-hmm. Because if someone can say, what is your basic education level? And they see, oh, Cambridge certified. Then they go like, oh, okay. Now, and I'm starting from there because at the Cambridge certified level, in terms of what I was exposed to, mm-hmm. you reached grade 12 regardless.
Yeah.
You didn't have an option of exiting at grade 11. You must finish grade 12.
There was no shortcut.
There was no shortcut. You were kicked out of at grade 10 because it came in with that with my year
yeah.
when I was grade 10.
Oh.
It came
like
in.
Okay, you have to reach
your points market.
Your points must reach a certain level for you to proceed.
Yeah.
For you otherwise, to get then you'll have 11. To, you know, like no, maybe no. upgrade.
No, no.
You can't repeat.
No, you were drop kicked into Namcor.
Yep.
That was your avenue. You get drop kicked into Namcor.
Mm-hmm.
And at that stage, people were very afraid of Namcor.
Yeah.
Parents were afraid of Namcor.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stories were there and and I've met people that have said some of the tutors don't show up to teach you. Now you're there to try and improve on your past performance.
Yeah.
But your tutors don't show up.
You're upgrading, end up, you know, downgrading.
So the competition level is higher at high school.
Yeah.
So I had to finish at grade 12. You had to finish at grade 12. Now we're giving people the option of you can exit at grade 11.
After
being threatened that you will be eliminated in some sort of like do or die match in grade 10 the previous year. Now you can exit.
Like, you know, just chill.
Yeah, relax. Chill. You can exit at grade 11. Don't worry.
We got this. But the unemployment rate is through the roof.
Yeah.
But now, can we take a call?
Yeah, let's quickly take the call.
Eagle FM of Yamore.
Yes, Helmut.
Good afternoon, Omulemba.
Omulemba, I have to apologize that he greeted you by saying good morning in Africa.
Oh, yeah. Wait, that was good morning?
Yeah.
I'm living in Greece.
It's okay, man. It's okay on your side.
It's good, man.
Yeah.
I think the people who drafted the current education curriculum,
mm-hmm.
I think those who even drafted it, they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say,
mm-hmm.
That's the fundamental problem we are living with in our country.
Mm-hmm.
If you check, that the debate in the seat of Windhoek when they were talking about going in partnership with Welvicha University,
mm-hmm.
you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And to check the angle where...
Have you recently turned 18 years old? Take your first step and become a future voter by registering to vote in the general registration of voters from the 3rd of June to the 1st of August 2024. All eligible Namibian citizens will be required to register irrespective of whether you have registered before or not. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 083-288-401.
Omulemba? Yes, I
would. Yeah. Sorry for that, man. You have like extra 30 yeah. seconds.
Yes. If you check the angle, how Dr. Jordan Panda was debating and the other people, you understand.
Mm.
You see the problem in this country, Lily. We don't understand English.
That's a good one. Yes. Yes.
We think we understand it and we are well educated, but you don't understand.
Mm.
You see a person who is compelling a counselor who was a teacher for that matter, is compelling an intellectual property of a product with a poster on a billboard.
With a poster,
with a poster, yeah.
Yes.
With a poster, could you please repeat that part, because you kind of lost me.
He does not differentiate the difference between an intellectual property and a poster that was made and put there and later gets old and become a rubbish. There is a difference. Now, the question was being asked, do you think you can go sign an agreement in Germany, a product made in Germany, and Namibia and Germany, both of them, they have 50% shares? Do you want to tell me that? Even if the natural resources they take here, like for to make battle for cars, they take the natural resources from Africa. But if, do we have 50% shares in Mercedes or Volkswagen or other, or OT, or do we have shares in them? We don't have. But they're taking natural raw material and natural resources from us. So now, they were being schooled, and the problem is that the people are talking without intellectual basis, and they talk for the sake of talking. If you go again, wait on the issue that we are speaking now on people, local people that should be inbred when in them, where there is a, now people have discovered belief or other kind of things.
Let's just run through it, because we are out of
time. Yes. What about that point? Yeah. You see, Dwight, we were talking this thing with me last time. Those international companies, companies have what is called occupational health and safety. Occupational health and safety require a certificate of competency from a competent institution for you to be able to perform the task. So you cannot claim that because you are an Namibian, you must be inbred to do engineering job with your grade 12 certificate. It won't.
Exactly.
Because occupational health and safety will not allow it. Because if you break something, then the problem will come. The company will write a report and say the person who was performing task does not have a competent certificate to perform a specific job.
Exactly that point, Omulemba.
Yes. Those are the things that we need to educate people and we need to understand as a country. So that you can drive without a license for 100 years. But even if someone bump you, if you don't have a license, you'll be locked up. Yes.
It's all good points, and thanks for that quick contribution.
Sharp.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM.
And enjoy the rest of your evening, guys. Do remember, tomorrow's edition of the Village E-Paper is coming out. Look forward to it for those of you that obviously form part of our subscription. If not, really, guys, I don't know where you've been, what you've been doing.
But we're not going to judge.
We can't judge.
Subscribe.
Yes. Kindly do follow the descriptions. You can find it on our social media. You can find it on the e-paper for those of you that sometimes get it through unverified means. Let's just stay in that.
In that. Aspect. Still not gonna judge.
Still not gonna judge. Yeah. But you can the ways of subscribing are contained within.
You don't have to black market it. You can get it straight.
Yeah, it's for free.
Yeah.
why did you add black market?
please let's go before we get fired. All right, you all have a blessed evening now.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwana.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061 285 5400. We're about you.